North Rock Podcast.
Hey, welcome to North Rock. So glad to see you here this morning. I trust that you all had a great 4th of July. Yep. And the Sunday after 4th of July, it's like one of those extra credit kind of Sundays, right? Like after Christmas. Not that we need extra credit. But, you know, when you're in church the day after the 4th of July, when, I don't know if your neighbors did, but my neighbors celebrated till like 2:30 or 3 in the morning, right? I mean, it was just, the light show went on and on. The fireworks went on and on and on. So yeah, it was fun. Everybody had a good 4th of July, right?
Yeah.
Good. Only thing that can add to a great 4th of July is a great 5th of July, celebrating the freedom that Jesus affords us here at North Rock, right? And I don't know about you, but I think I felt some fireworks going off during worship today. What do you guys think? The spiritual fireworks? Yeah. Good job, worship team. Thank you guys for jumping in and helping us with this new season of the life of this church. So I have to admit to you, I didn't celebrate the 4th of July in a way that traditionally we would, where we go to a park and watch the public displays or light some at our own house. My oldest daughter, Cameron, who's sitting here in the front row, was invited over to some friend's house. Her little sister went with her, and they celebrated that traditional way. But Jody and I were, you know, in a situation where we were empty nesters for a little bit. And I'll tell you, my daughter's 10 and the other one is 5. And so when you get a night out to take your beautiful bride out on a date, that's what you do on the 4th of July. So we went and celebrated our freedom by going to dinner and a movie, and it was glorious. But felt a little weird when we got out of the theater and everybody was, you know, driving home from the fireworks show. We timed it up just perfectly to where we missed all the show but caught all the traffic. So it was great. It was great. So again, really glad to have you here. We are in a series called The Great Adventure, talking about what it means to be on journey with Jesus. And if you have been with us for a little while, this is the 4th installment of this series. 4 weeks ago, our founding pastor, Sam Rockwell, was here, and he kind of talked to us for a little while about the first 5 years of this church's existence, what it meant to be on the great adventure with a startup church plant here at North Rock 26 years ago. And then if you were with us 3 weeks ago, I taught on the great adventure, father to father. Anybody remember that message? Don't lie to your pastor. But you remember something about that message, maybe something, right? Well, if you didn't, just so those that weren't with us can catch up, kind of follow along with us, we talked about that we need to be fathered to father and be mothers in the faith, right? We talked about that we need to clear up the father fallacy, where we see our Father God any way other than straight through that cross, right? Because when we see it through the cross, we recognize that he's for us, not against us, right? That he is in our corner, and that he loves us, and that he wants to bless us, and he wants us to live the great adventure, right? How many of you guys would agree with me today that if Christianity is boring to you, we're doing something wrong? It's in order to follow the only fearless leader ever in the entire world requires risk, doesn't it? It requires they're willing to step out of our comfort zones. It requires that we're willing to see things bigger than what they are, right? And so that's part of that, what we talked about, the father to father, is that he's good and he's gracious and he's generous and he's got great plans for the future of our lives and of his body of work, right? And then in that same message, we talked about that in order for us to really walk in the spiritual authority that he releases to us through Jesus Christ, we've got to spend some time with him. We've got to practice proximity with Jesus, right? We've got to get in the Word. We've got to worship. We've got to do the things that really we get to do, not that we got to do, right? Major difference, as Pastor Andrew talked about today, that, you know, how we approach the Word, how we approach worship, how we approach the great freedom to talk to the Lord and walk through life with the Lord leading us is a big difference. So last week we talked about transform to transform, right? That looking at the Apostle Paul, who this whole series is built around, his expeditions, the way that the Lord led him to be a leader, and what we call, I call us like a super apostle, right? that he got started with Jesus and he went off, and most of our New Testament has his fingerprints all over it, right? And the churches, the early churches, a lot of those were started because he really took this stuff seriously and said, God, if you transform me and it's true for me, that means it's got to be true for others, right? So if it's true for one, it's true for all. And he set out on that freedom journey to free others. And that's what our message is this week. We're talking about how do we live a life of spiritual freedom on this journey with Jesus. Now, I think that if I ask, just raise by a show of hands, which you don't have to do a show of hands, I know the crowds don't like to do that. So I'm not going to do that to you, at least not right now, okay? But if I asked you if John 8:36, which says, so this, if the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. We'd all say, amen, right? Because we're in church. That's what we say, right? And so, you know, the idea of that passage is that if we're free, we can stay free, right? That we're free, we live free. And at the same time, I would be the first to admit that we live in a spiritually disorienting time and culture. And there are times when I'm walking around free because of what Jesus did in my life, but maybe not as free as I could be. Anybody identify with that? So I kind of think about it this way. I got a 5-year-old at home that right now, her biggest fear is bugs. Okay, and it's a bad time of year when your fear is bugs, right? And so, you know, from time to time, we'll be, you know, working around the front yard and we'll walk through a spider web, right? Through a spider web, and it'll get on you, and I mean, she'll freak out. Okay, and just running around trying to get it off. And you know what it's like once you get that spider web on you, you can have it off and it still feels like it's on you, right? You're trying to peel it off, trying to get rid of it. Well, you know, I use that picture as maybe just a metaphor, an illustration of thinking about if Jesus has set us free, we are free indeed. We are truly free, and yet we can get caught in some spider webs sometimes. We can get stuck forgetting just how free we are, right? How much God has for us. And I say that just to really reinforce this point. If the totality of our experience in this great adventure with Jesus is simply sin management, or simply worried about what kind of sin and how we get it off and what we do with that, then we're missing half of what God wanted to do in our lives. See, the great promise is that Jesus' blood covers our sin. The payment for it and the power of it in our lives, right? But it doesn't stop there. He goes on to say that you've been given a spiritual inheritance, and that God's got great things for our life. And so the idea behind the great adventure is that we, the church, would live lives that are abundant and on mission for God. Is that something that sounds interesting to you today? Anybody want to go through life just, you know, kind of a two-step drum, go to work, come home, cook dinner, go to bed, go to work, come home, cook dinner, go to bed? No, we want to live abundant lives, the lives that God gave his very life for us to experience, right? So today we're talking about being free in order to free others along the way. And if you have your Bibles with you, we are going to be reading a passage from Acts 26, where the Apostle Paul talks to King Felix about the experience that he's had with Jesus. But before we dive into the Word, I want to pray. And we will we'll talk about a few things that I think will help us all on this journey with Jesus. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your goodness to us. We thank you for your word today. Lord, we thank you for the edifying work of worship and the way that we feel the weights and maybe the cobwebs that we walk through in this world lifted off of us. And Lord, in Jesus' name, we acknowledge that in you we are free. And so we want to be a people who live as free people, and we want to be a people who share that freedom with others. Lord, help us to see that all roads don't lead to the end with us. But Lord, you do a work through us to free others along the way. And so in Jesus' name we pray, amen, amen, amen. So Apostle Paul's like one of my biblical heroes because he was a guy that was zealous about what he was doing before he met Jesus, right? I mean, if you remember from last week's message, we talked about that he was prosecuting the church. He was like the guy that was going after this whole group of followers of Jesus that were saying that Jesus died on that cross, was buried, and rose again 3 days later. And because of that, we could have new life. And so he was leading people into towns to find Christians, to drag them out, to prosecute them, and to put them in jail, and at times put them to death. And where we find him in this story in Acts chapter 26 is that he has an encounter with the Lord. This is the third time in the book of Acts that he describes the way that he ran into the living God in his life, okay? And so as we engage this passage, it's not Paul's first day on the job, right? Paul's got some street cred, if you will. Paul has been down the road for a while, right? And having bared his testimony, he'd been beaten, he'd been jailed, he'd been tied and prepared for torture. And then because he was a Roman citizen, they let him off the hook on that one, right? He'd been dragged before a council of elders. He's placed under house arrest. And, you know, I don't know about you, but when I read him being on house arrest, I always want to imagine, like, the very best scenario. Like, go to your room, right? Like, he was there for a day or a week. No, but he was there for 2 years under house arrest. For two full years, he was under house arrest. And I don't know if that encourages you. I feel bad for Paul. But it encourages me because I want things to go quickly and painlessly in my walk with Jesus, right? On my great adventure, I just want it to be linear. Boom, 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 boom. We're just going straight, making great progress. Don't have to go get on house arrest, right? Anybody else with me, right? Don't want to deal with all the cobwebs. Don't want to deal with all the pain in this world. Don't want to deal with people. Just me and God, we're just going to walk this out, right? For 2 years, he was under house arrest. Then he goes before the council and chief elders. Then they drag him before Governor Felix. And Governor Felix keeps him long enough that there's a change of leadership in the governorship, right? So he has to meet Governor Festus and he has to tell him the whole story all over again. And now in Acts chapter 26, we read that he's before King Agrippa. Okay, and this is what the text says. Again, it's Paul talking about his conversion experience. And because we jumped into all the ministry that he did last week, I want to go back to his conversion moment and talk about how that affects us, okay? So Acts 26, verses 12 through 20. I promise you we're actually going to read it now. I'm watching you guys look at me like this. Is he going to read it? No, he's not going to read it. Is he going to read it? All right. Yep, we're going to read it. Let's read it. Acts 26, verse 12 says, "One day I was on such a mission to Damascus, armed with the authority and commission of the leading priests. About noon, Your Majesty, as I was on the road, a light from heaven, brighter than the sun, shone down on me and my companions. We all fell down, and I heard a voice saying to me in Aramaic, 'Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? It is useless for you to fight against my will.' 'Who are you?' I asked. 'Who are you, Lord?' I asked. And the Lord replied, 'I am Jesus, the one you are persecuting. Now get to your feet, for I have appeared to you to appoint you as my servant and witness. Tell people that you have seen me and tell them what I will show you in the future. And I will rescue you from both your own people and the Gentiles. Yes, I am sending you to the Gentiles to open their eyes so that they may turn from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God. Then they will receive forgiveness for their sins and be given a place amongst God's people, who are set apart by faith in me.'" Verse 19 says, "And so, King Agrippa, I obeyed that vision from heaven. I preached first to those in Damascus, then to Jerusalem, then throughout all Judea, and also to the Gentiles, that all must repent of their sins and turn to God and prove that they have changed by the good things that they do." Okay, so again, you see a pattern in the Apostle Paul's life of how he experienced Jesus and a pattern for what a conversion experience looked like with those that he preached to in Damascus, Jerusalem, Judea, and throughout the Gentiles, right? So a couple of thoughts from this text I think might encourage us along the way in this great adventure of following Christ. The first one is that the Apostle Paul's salvation moment started something in him. In other words, it wasn't just a simple prayer that he prayed one time that everything just went good in his life. Does that make sense? That it wasn't a moment as much as it was a movement. It was him making that decision and that point of conversion occurring in his life. And from that point on where he was going this direction, you can see that it started to turn back and go the other direction, right? Where he was adamantly and passionately pursuing Christians to put this message to death. I mean, think about this, guys. Think about just not too long before this, there were a bunch of scared disciples, right? And then the Holy Spirit is poured out, and the book of Acts talks about all these new churches that are popping up and all the good work that God's doing, right? And he's out there to quench that. He's there to stop that. He's there to put the fear of the authorities that he represented into the church so they stop talking about this thing. So they stop giving witness to what Jesus had done in their lives, right? You know that word conversion, according to dictionary.com, means simply this: to change into a different form of property, to transmute or to transform, to turn to another or a particular use or purpose, or to divert from the original or the intended use. When we talk about conversion in church, when we talk about Jesus coming into our lives, this is what we're talking about, right? This is what we're talking about. That freedom that he allows is a trade-in, right? How many of you guys have ever had a clunker car? Yeah? Yeah, I just got rid of one. I think I'm driving another one right now. When you trade something in, you don't keep it, right? But that's what this is about, is that when Jesus sets us free, we trade our lives for his. And we trade all of us for all of him. How many of you guys know that's a good trade-in, right? That's a great trade-in. That's like the worst lemon I've ever driven. Traded in for a Rolls Royce or a Mercedes or something, right? Times 1,000, right? So a couple of thoughts. Saul's salvation started something in him. And that's what we observe in Paul's life throughout the book of Acts and throughout the rest of the New Testament, is that there's a shift or a new beginning that occurred in his life. And I'd like for us to just take a few minutes today as he's bearing his witness before this king to highlight a few important aspects that I think are common to all who come into a relationship with Jesus. First one is this, that every great adventure has a starting point. Ooh, man, that's profound. You want to write that down, Bob. I can tell. I know you do. I know you can remember stuff, but you want to write that one down. I can tell. Every great adventure on the journey with Jesus has a starting point. For Paul, it was a confrontation, wasn't it? It was a confrontation where Paul was being his very best zealous Jew at the time, going out to persecute this new church, right? And he's going along, and he's got the authority of the elders behind him, and he's got this commissioning. I mean, you can imagine, he's got a badge, he's got a posse, and they are out hunting Christians, right? And along the way, Jesus shows up, the living God. And he says, Paul, what do you think you're doing? Paul, what do you think you're doing? Right? So he says, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? It's useless for you to fight against my will. So my first encouragement is this: Jesus can take care of himself. Jesus can show up in the midst of anybody's life. How many of you guys know that Paul wasn't interested in Jesus at this moment in his life? Paul is super possible. The guy that we go, man, he really crushed it in his walk with God. He didn't have any interest in Jesus, and yet Jesus comes and makes himself known to him in that moment. And the point is simply this, that Jesus shows up in real time, reveals himself as the big L Lord, right? As the one who has been given authority over all principalities and powers of darkness in this world. How many of you guys know that's the Jesus that we worship here today? That's the Jesus. Not little L Jesus, not little L Lord, big L Jesus, or big J Jesus, big L Lord, right? I don't think you can spell Jesus with an L, but you know, you can try, okay? So I say all that to say that in order for us to go on a journey with Jesus, we have to know that we know that we know that we know that we've had that encounter with the living God. Because then all the arguments, all of the questions, all the philosophies, all of the challenging of the good and the bad and the ugly of what the church has done in the past, they don't sway us off of the point that we know that we're set free in Jesus Christ, right? You know, Paul had a starting moment. When Jesus confronted him and said, I am the one that you're persecuting. I had a starting point. In fact, it started in this very church about a little over 20 years ago. And I was a very discouraged, kind of angry young man who had a carpet installation business so that I could go ride bulls on the weekend. And I was doing that, and I happened to walk into a service that Pastor Sam was preaching the gospel and hearing it for the very first time. And in that moment, God started something in me the same way he started something in Paul. Now, for some of you guys, you might be saying, I don't know, 20 years, really? Guys, show them the picture, would you? Okay, so this is what I look like back 20 years ago, okay? Now, Pastor Andrew had a very unkind comment today to me. He said, how is it that Jody doesn't look like she's aged one day from that picture? And you, and I just stopped him right there. I said, no, you're not taking that any further, right? I share that picture for two reasons. One, to illustrate that at one point your pastor actually had hair, okay? It's true, and in fact, you know, Nisha's here in the service. She was in our youth ministry back then, and I used to walk around in Wrangler jeans because I was, you know, I thought I was supposed to be a bull rider, and God had different plans, took me down a different direction. But the second reason that we talk about that is because when I confessed Jesus as my Lord and Savior, it wasn't an eloquent prayer. It wasn't a prayer that, you know, that we get all excited about. I just said, God, if this is real, I'm coming after you. Jesus, I accept your payment on that cross for my sin. And from that moment on, things started to change in my life. The things that I used to do and love to do, I no longer love to do. I began to develop a hunger and a love for his church, a hunger and a love for his word, a hunger and a love for the power of his Holy Spirit to work through my life. And apparently a hunger and a love to lose my hair as well. But that's a whole different message and a whole different series, right? Say all that just to say, remember your starting point. Rehearse your starting point. Remind yourself, as we see Paul did, right? This is the third time he's told this story that we can see in the book of Acts. Hey, this is what happened. And that's exactly what the Holy Spirit, or exactly what the Word said that he was supposed to do too, because he says we started with a starting point. And then the second point that we're making today is this, is that every journey with Jesus starts with confession, right? Starts with confession. Verse 16 said, now get to your feet, for I have appeared to you to appoint you as servant and witness. A servant witness. Tell people what you have seen. Tell people that you have seen me, and tell them what I will show you in the future. Isn't that a great prototype for discipleship, right? We don't have to have all the answers. We don't have to have it all figured out. We don't have to have all of the doctrinal points all outlined and mapped out before we can talk about it. He just basically says, I'm calling you, I'm appointing you, and I'm sending you as a witness and as a servant, and I want you to tell people what I did in your life, and then I want you to tell them about the things I'm going to do in the future, right? How many of you guys are planners like me? Now, I want to know, God, where are we going with this thing? Where does this turn go, right? Where does that next pass lead to? And I usually get these same answers that Paul gets. It's, listen, just be faithful with the stuff that I already told you and keep doing what I told you to do, and then you'll figure it out when we get there, okay? That's part of that, you know, getting rid of the father fallacy. That's part of really submitting our lives to the big L lordship, right? I mean, you guys know it's easy to say, Jesus, you're my Savior. It's a whole different ballgame to say, Lord, you are Lord. My whole life, not just some little spiritual experience I had on the side, my whole life is submitted to you. And that's, again, what I see in this text of Paul talking about. How is it that this new life takes shape? How is it the new freedoms become new freedoms that we can walk in and not just talk about, right?
Yeah.
So every great adventure on the journey with Jesus starts with confession. I want you to think about that in two different ways. One, the way I just described it, there was a point in his life that he said, I'm no longer going that way. I'm accepting Jesus as my Lord and Savior. The second one is that before he ever did that, Jesus had a plan for his life, right? At that confession of who he is, he says, now get to your feet, right? That's a good word. Get to your feet, for I have appeared to you, appoint you my servant and witness. I love that those two are hinged together. He doesn't just appear, right? How many of you guys would be honest enough to say, sometimes I just want God to appear without having me do something, right? But he appeared to appoint. He appears to send us on mission because he cares about the freedom of others as much as he cares about our freedom. And that is what the gospel message is all about. That's what this message is all about. And I'm glad this thing had a point because I was starting to wonder. Okay? Every great adventure on the journey with Jesus starts with confession. Starts with confession. That's why we're doing this baptism. Baptism is a great signpost. It's a great mile marker for your journey. It's a way of publicly declaring, saying, I am going public with my faith that I believe that Jesus is the risen God and that I have new life because of who he is. Now, I'm getting all worked up. I hope this is exciting somebody besides me. But if you have not been baptized yet, make your confession. Make your confession. Get signed up. You can do that today. We'd love to talk to you about what that means. We'd love to celebrate that moment in your life. And I can tell you, all those years ago, I can remember my baptism. On the hard days when I got the cobwebs all over me, right? When I'm thinking ways that I shouldn't think, when I'm acting ways that aren't out of freedom, I can go back and remember. Oh yeah, I remember the story of Jesus confronting me. I remember my baptism as a signpost and my confession of my faith in him, right? Baptism, in my mind, is kind of like a mile marker. Now, we're getting ready to take our kiddos to see their grandparents, Jody's side of the family, down in a little place called, and I mean little. So you look it up, GPS, you won't find it. It's called Arabella, New Mexico. Anybody know where that's at? I didn't think so. In first service, there was somebody from New Mexico. They're like, oh, yeah, I know where that's at. I was like, no, you don't. You know about where it's at, right? Because Arabella, New Mexico is a highway that leads to a smaller frontage road that leads to a road that's not maintained by, you know, the county anymore, which leads to a dirt road, which is where her parents have decided to retire. And so one of the things that we do as a family on our way down to see the grandparents is when we get off of the main highway, we get on that last stretch of road, there's about a 17-mile drive into the middle of nowhere. I mean, honestly, folks, when I go there, I call it the place where time stands still. Because it does, literally. I mean, I have a pretty hectic life, you know, here in the city. When I go there I like have to detox from my schedule. It's like I'm looking at my phone, no signal, no service, right? I can't get Wi-Fi, and it's like all my serotonin levels, they get right again. But the first day is pretty tough. So the reason that I share that illustration is simply this. The one of the games that we play on the way there is when we get on that final road, we begin to look for the mile markers. And the first person to see the mile marker wins. And it helps us pass the time. It helps us see the journey that we've been on. It helps after a 7.5 or 8 hour journey with kids in the car, if you know what I'm talking about, to remember this thing, it's going somewhere. And we're making progress. And I just saw mile marker 7, so mile marker 8's coming. Mile marker 9, mile marker 10. That's how we think about this journey to a grandparent's house. And I think it's a fitting illustration for our journey with Jesus. We've got to have mile markers in our life. We've got to have our own confessions, not just somebody else's, right? We've got to remember that God's plan, his purpose, is that we would talk about what he did in our lives when he engaged us, but that we would also talk about the things that he's leading us into today and tomorrow. How many of you guys sit here today as finished products in what Jesus is doing in your life? In the spirit, yes. In actually walking it out, no, right? He's always developing us into the very best future that he has for us. That's what a good father does, right? So, third point, simply this. Every great adventure on the journey with Jesus necessitates both a compass and a commission. Okay? Verses 17 and 18, it says, I will rescue you from both your own people and the Gentiles. Yes, I am sending you to the Gentiles to open their eyes so that they may turn from darkness to light and the power of Satan to God. Then they will receive forgiveness for their sins and will be given a place amongst God's people who are set apart by faith in me. You see that? He gives it both compass and a commission, right? And I'm sending you somewhere on purpose. And for me, that compass is an important part. It's that due north pointing that Jesus does in our lives as we spend time with him in his word, as we spend time in prayer, as we spend time worshiping him. It allows me to pull back to due north of where he's leading me, right? Because he hasn't given us the whole roadmap, right? Remember the old day of the roadmaps, right? Where you could lay it out and go, starting here, by lunch we'll be here. And now it's just follow the little blue line,
right? Follow a little blue line. Follow a little voice on your phone, right? That Jesus is the only one who can point due north for me in my journey with him. Not my pastor, not my friends, not my family, Jesus. It's the only way we go on the great adventure. It's the only way we keep the courage that we need to stay on the great adventure with him. And that compass is leading us somewhere. And that commission you see in verses 17 and 18. Can I just say this by faith? There are people in your lives that I'm never going to speak to that God wants to reach through your life. There are people that I don't even know that God wants to do something in our life because he's given you a compass and a commission, right? That there are people that he wants to open their eyes and to give them sight of who he really is as a loving father in heaven. So how do we stay on the great adventure in a spiritually disoriented culture? John chapter 8, verses 31 and 32 gives us some pretty good directions. It says this, that Jesus said to the people who believed in him, "You are truly my disciples if you remain faithful to my teachings, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." We learn to live free. I love that there's a progressive element to this, right? Because I get discouraged when I'm walking around with cobwebs on my head. I get discouraged and say, maybe it didn't take, Lord, right? Because there's still some flesh stuff I'm working out. There's still some things that you're doing in me and through me. But his word says, if you're my disciples, you'll remain faithful to my teachings, and you'll know the truth, and that truth sets you free. What's the truth, people? That the Son has set you free. You are free indeed. So on July 5th of July 4th, where we celebrate independence as a country, come to church in July 5th, and we tell you, you are free in Christ Jesus. That we don't have to keep worrying about the things we once did or the things that we made a mistake or this or that or the other. It's not about that. It's about going on into all that Jesus would call you into. I'm going to ask the worship team to come up as we prepare to close our service. And simply, my last point to wrap this whole thing up is this. It's an encouragement from your pastor that every great adventure, every journey with Jesus comes with some course corrections. I received a couple of them from my Lord and my Savior this week. Course corrections, attitude adjustments, right? Directional changes. It's the reminder that, Chad, you can drift sometimes. Sometimes you can get off course. But I'm committed to the future of your life, because I'm going to give you the course corrections along the way. So Paul said, King Agrippa, I obeyed the vision from heaven, and I preached in those in Damascus, Jerusalem, Judea, and all the Gentiles that they must repent of their sins and turn to God and prove that they have changed by the good things that they do. Again, there's a redemptive element in that language. That to experience the deliverance and the power, or deliverance from the power and the penalty of sin, is the work, the first work of what Jesus does in our lives, right? But as we walk out that freedom, he's got so much more he wants to do. So many more mile markers down the road that he's calling us to. Galatians chapter 5, verse 1 says that if Christ has truly set us free, let us now make sure that we stay free and don't get tied up in the slavery of the law again. I don't know about you this morning, but I want to be more free. I want to live more free. I want to live with the type of freedom that the Gentiles see and go, wow, what is going on? I want to live with the type of freedom that begets the real cost of our freedom. So as we sit here today, would you just do a little evaluation, a little heart check? And would you just, as we worship to this last song, would you do some business with the Lord today as he reminds us that if you know his Son, Jesus, you are free in Christ. Let's worship. Yes, Lord, we thank you for your mercy and your grace and your love that calls us into deep waters, Lord, that calls us into this life of great adventure. And Lord, we thank you for the many stories and many testimonies of the signposts, of the confessions that have been made by this group in this place today. Lord, we pray that you would stir our spirit once again, Lord, that we would go on adventure with you once again. Lord, that we remember your faithfulness, Lord. And we remember that it's not our strength that you build your church on, but it's your strength. What made Paul the great apostle was that he trusted in a great God who had a great plan for his great life. And so, Lord, today we thank you for the adventures that you've taken us on. And Lord, we recognize that as we participate in your grand dream for our lives, we'll find signposts. We'll find places of confession. We'll find the compass. And we'll find your commission once again. So Lord, thank you that you bring life to us. That it's your love that draws us out to trust you more and more and more and more in our lives. And Lord, I pray for those that have taken the time to be here at North Rock today, Lord, that they would leave with the encouragement. And they would leave today with the courage to go after you, to live a life that's bold and declarative in our love and our hope of eternity with you. Maybe you're here today and you just say, Pastor Chad, I've never had an opportunity before to confess Jesus as my Lord and Savior. The stuff you've been talking about today, it sounds like something I want to do. But I've never had a chance before to hear that message and to respond to it. If that's you, I'm going to give you an opportunity to do that in just a minute because we believe around here at North Rock that we all need those reminders quite often of the work that Jesus does in us. So we're going to pray it all together here in just a moment. But before we do that, I just, you know, how many guys, if you just entertain this for 1 minute, how many guys remember a show on television called Mayberry RFD? Now, it's a strange way to close out a prayer service, I know. But it's an image that just keeps coming back to me. You guys remember in Mayberry RFD with Barney Fife and Andy and those guys? That they had a town drunk that would appear sometimes. Otis, right? Otis. And Otis had an alcohol issue, right? So he would go get drunk, and then in order, because he knew the routine so much, that he would walk himself down to the pokey, open up the cage, and go in and lay down in there and close the gate behind him, right? The sheriff didn't have to do anything. Barney didn't have to do anything. They said, hey, Otis. And off Otis went and sat himself back in that cage. Can I just be so bold this morning to say some of us here today have taken ourselves and the freedom that God's given us and we've gone and we've sat back down in the jail. Now here's the connection point to Jesus. Okay? If you're like me and you run into things and things get a hold of us and some of those cobwebs have a way of entangling us, the good news of the gospel is that Jesus broke that lock so you can walk out just like Otis anytime that you darn well please in Jesus' name. Because if the Son has set you free, you are free indeed, right? So let's pray that prayer with those who might make that decision for the first time today. And then, as always, we'll have people available to pray over any need that you have in your life. But, church, let's pray this as if it's the very first time we've ever prayed it, even if it's not our first. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I invite you into my life. I believe that you died on the cross for my sin and that you rose from the grave 3 days later. I receive forgiveness for every failure and sin in my life and give to you the right to direct my life from this day forward. Let me hear you. I dedicate myself to learning the scripture, to living in fellowship with God's people, to following you in water baptism. In Jesus' name we pray and we trust. Amen, amen, amen. Hey, can we give the Lord an applause for what you're doing in our lives? Thank you, Lord, that you make us free. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you for listening to this North Rock resource. To find out more information about North Rock Church, check us out at www.northrockchurch.com.